Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I want to thank you for singing that long hymn. It's one of my favorites. Sung 44 years ago at my ordination, and Joe's going to be sung at my funeral too, so prepare the people. There's a crumbling old tombstone on Boot Hill in Tombstone, Arizona, an old gunslinger's burial place. And on that tombstone it says, "Be who you are, because if you be what you ain't what you are. Be who you are, because if you be what you ain't who you are." And I think that that's important. He's talking about being authentic. If you're a father or a mother, if you're at work, if you're retired, you know, a grandparent, you know, be that. But as we gather today, you're reminded through Holy Scripture that deeper than all those identities that you have, which are all good, you are made in the image and likeness of God. And we are to learn all we can about God and let the Holy Spirit make us more like God. And one of the biggest barriers to that is not to forgive. Because when you don't forgive, you're blocking the grace that's already there, but you block it because unforgiveness can lead to resentment, to anger, to hate. You know, you siphon off the energy, the grace energy. Grace is energy, but you siphon that off. Hating, being angry, being repulsed by that other person or people. To hold a grudge, to hold on to a hurtful memory. Every time you see that person, you think about that. To formulate a plan of getting even. To try to attack that person with resentment. You know, there's a wonderful book by Frederick Buechner, who's a wonderful Christian writer, and it's called Wishful Thinking. And here he talks about anger and that kind of feeling that you might have and unforgiveness. And he says, it is in many ways a feast fit for a king. That's so-and-so, that no good. I'm going to, you know, that's a feast fit for a king. Well, you feel so good wanting to get that revenge. The problem is, he says, the problem is the chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. And the skeleton on the table is you. When you have this, it hurts you more than anybody else. It eats at you more than anybody else. And it can eat at the family. You know that person in the family that doesn't come to the funeral because they're angry with their brother. Or you might not want to go to that family reunion because of so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so. You get the picture. And that blocks the grace. So today, St. Peter is missing the point when he tries to put a number on how many times to forgive. In Jewish law, you had to forgive somebody three times. And that's big. I mean, do you ever try to forgive somebody that's a real schmuck three times? I mean, it's not easy. And he says, no. He said, Jesus, look at me. I'm not three. I'll do it seven times, over twice as much as the Jewish law demands. And he thought, boy, Jesus is going to be really impressed with this. I'll do it seven times. Try to forgive somebody seven times. But Peter was in the numbers game, not in the way of the citizenship of the kingdom of God, not in the Christ consciousness, the Christ awareness. Jesus was inviting Peter into a whole new way of living, a whole new way of awareness, a whole new way of life. Not seven, but 77. Jesus did this with his parables, teaching us the amazing grace of God, how wonderful. In the same was to blow the numbers game out, to keeping count of how many times I should do this because they did that tit for tat. He was showing Peter that forgiveness is the way of life in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, Jesus gives us hints. So what did he teach us to pray, the main prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or another translation, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then Jesus told this powerful parable about where Peter's way of thinking leads. In the parable, as the servant judged, so he was judged. But what is Christ's consciousness like? You see, Jesus was referring to something that St. Paul picked up on later when St. Paul wrote in his famous Corinthians love poem, love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love never fails. Love is a forgiving, F-O-R-E, giving. You give before you receive anything. You give because it's in your heart, because of what you receive from God. An unlimited forgiveness that doesn't stop in all situations. It comes from knowing, really knowing, the unlimited love and energy and goodness of God in your heart. Now, Luther's explanation of the Eighth Commandment. Remember the Eighth Commandment, don't have false witness against your neighbor? And Luther writes as part of that explanation, interpret everything your neighbor does, everything your neighbor does, in the best possible light. This is the way of the kingdom of heaven. And it can only happen when we receive God's power to let it happen. And that usually takes time, especially when we're hurt badly in the situation. However, the more you are aware of this love that God has for you, this grace, this energy coming to you, the more you can live openly, spontaneously, not holding grudges, being able to forgive as you are forgiven, to be who you is, as it says on that tombstone in Tombstone, Arizona. If you want to use the credit card system, well, then forgiving is God gives you credit even before you ask for it. Forgiveness is the Christian consciousness which says, I forgive all the hurtful things you've done to me in the past. Wipe the slate clean. You might not forget it, but you forgive. But it says more than that. Forgiveness, F-O-R-E-giveness, means, and I will forgive you all you do in the future. I take you for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death parts us. What do you say in the wedding vows? It's like when you have a baby, when Paul was born, or your children was born, and you just love them. You didn't say, well, if they have brown eyes, I'm getting rid of them. You know, if they don't have blonde hair, I'm getting rid of them. You love them unconditionally. That kind of love you have for a child, that love you have for a grandchild, that's nothing compared to the love God has for you. God's love for you is a zillion times more than that. It's a reflection of the covenant God made with us in our baptism. That God loves you, that you are a child of God. Your identity is that you have love in God and you have eternal life in God. Let another person, but it does not mean that another person can, to themselves or to you, physically, emotionally, psychologically, do you violence to yourself or to others, because loving does not allow that to happen. And sometimes we have to set boundaries. We've set boundaries, and at times in this world, this relationship may have to be ended because the relationship is toxic, and it's not life-giving, and it's killing. Sometimes that has to be cut off, and that's what we mean by tough love. There's a time when you say, enough, no more. You need to treat yourself better. You need to treat me better as a child of God. And sometimes forgiveness, you need to know the timing. You need to have your common sense in this whole thing. Because, for instance, if a survivor of incest, or somebody's battered, or raped, or tortured, it would be false to try to force it. But give it time to love that person, but give it time to love yourself. Here, forgiveness may mean first healing inside of you, something in you that's been torn up, your soul, to take time to heal. Maybe you need quiet time. Maybe you need away time. You need space. And that always takes time to heal. Forgiveness comes from true and honest turning to God. Always turning to God. The grace is always there. We just don't want those things like unforgiveness that block it. So allow that love and grace that energizes to come into our hearts. This is forgiveness. I'm talking about is the Christ attitude that opens and always more and more and more to flow through you, that you can live a fuller life, an overflowing life, a life of energy and creativity and adventure and goodness. And forgiveness frees. To hate that weighs on your shoulders, that weighs on you, weighs on your heart and your soul, to let it go, to let God, to be free. That is so important. And as I counsel people, sometimes the hardest part for them is to forgive themselves, to forgive themselves. But remember what Craig read today? Remember what he read today? What Joseph said to his brothers? Am I in the place of God? If God forgives you, if Jesus' blood was shed for you, if he died and rose for you, if you heard a few moments ago as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, to believe that, you are forgiven. You might have a scar, but you're forgiven. Let it go. Let God. You are God's beloved child. And that never, ever ends. You cannot do anything so heinous that God's not going to love you. And if you try to run from God, he's like the hound of heaven. He'll come after you and love you and woo you and hug you wherever you are. You are God's beloved child. And God hates sin, yeah, but he loves you so much more than you'll ever know, that you can let go of the sin, let go of the burden, let go of the pain, and make peace with the one you hurt when possible. So I'm going to give you a challenge. And it's hard for me because I still got a long ways to go. If it's not hard for you, then you're closer to God than I am. But I want you to think of that stinker, that schmuck, that person that you can't stand, okay? And I want you to write that person's name on a piece of paper or an index card or whatever and carry that with you this week. And look at that card and that person. How do you feel? Upset? Afraid? Enraged? Why? Why is that person done? How come you're still holding on to that? And don't try to forgive that person, but take that person to God in prayer. Sit with that person in prayer with God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with this person? How do you want me to act towards this person? How do you want me to act towards myself? Just take time with God in prayer. And God will give you an answer what to do and how to heal from that. Be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is, well, something like that. You get the idea. You are a forgiven sinner. You are loved by God. Now God wants you to return the favor. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.